Report with Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mullion Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune and a long time contributor to the station, as well as a valued friend. And he joins us, as all our guests do, brought to you by Arturo, your weather, all-weather tire, Arturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the coach spoke yesterday. There was all sorts of news, many different things to get to. But there wasn't a lot you could talk about. He did appreciate the question.
Yeah, we do appreciate you asking, though.
Yeah,
Brad.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying their very best to turn the page to Arizona here and get on to the next game. And when you step in it, which is what they did Sunday against the Commanders, that can be difficult. You know, it's real when you talk about a team learning how to win. And they've been able to win a little bit this year, but you, along with that, you've got to learn how to handle prosperity. And they weren't able to do that because they couldn't stay focused through an entire football game. And now they're looking at a lot of pressure to go out and beat an Arizona team that's been super competitive in some of the games it's been in this season.
Brett, I was underwhelmed by Matt Eberflus yesterday. I don't think he met the moment. I had higher expectations than I shouldn't have, I think, based on history. But I also feel like he was trying to thread the needle publicly and find a middle ground between maybe what some people feel like is an overreaction to Tyreek Stevenson and making him inactive or doling out that kind of discipline to doing nothing at all. Did you hear a coach that is likely to have dealt with this in his own way internally, and we may see that on Sunday, but without maybe going as far as some people may have wanted him to go?
Yeah, I think just because Matt Eberflus said that the communication with Tyreek Stevenson would remain private doesn't mean that we'll see some public fallout for Tyreek in Sunday's game, just because he doesn't want to discuss how he goes about discipline with players, which, frankly, that's not surprising. Doesn't mean something's not coming for Tyreek. That's what I walked away with, and quite frankly, I didn't expect him to say spell out what the situation was going to be for the cornerback. You know, he may not have won the press conference yesterday. I thought he was a little bit better, but what matters is if his football team is better. Can his offense snap out of a funk that it's been in the first quarter and first halves of football games this season? Because it's 100% going to be about the product that's on the field.
You know, it's a good point, Brad. I felt like Eberflus was true to who he is. Like that is kind of, as I watched it and as I listened to it, and man, I just thought that he's just being him. That's him. That's who he is.
You're right. It was unrealistic to want him to rise to the occasion.
I was pleading with him to kind of understand what was going on outside the team, and you need to know that it's not just. It's not just the team and the players. It's everybody in the league coming after him. And I thought we would see maybe he would take notice. But apparently he did tell them not to be second-guessing all the coaches outside the operation. He made that clear. DJ Moore talked about that. We'll get into that. But, Brad, you know, before the game, when we were doing the pregame and we were talking about the things to look for, I had it in my mind – What we had talked about with the failure on third down in the first quarter. And I thought if they went to work on anything, they would go to work on third down first quarter, get some points. And instead, we saw they had a third and 15, and then they were lined up false start, whatever it was. They had a third and 20. That was the first one, and that failed miserably. And the next one was a third and 10. And it's exactly the same issue. They did not improve that over the bye week going into the Washington game. Will they improve that somehow going into this Arizona game, another road game, 3-17 on the road?
Yeah, you better hope they improve it, or else they're going to be chasing once again, and that's difficult. I don't care what kind of weapons you've got on offense and who you're playing, and this is a, you know, an Arizona team that hasn't been great in a lot of regards. Arizona Cardinals, 32nd in the National Football League on third down. Opponents are converting more than 52% of the time. Cardinals, 26th in pass defense, 29th in yards per attempt defending the air. They're 27th overall in total defense. They're giving up 141 yards rushing a game. So there's an opportunity for them to go out there and put together a good offensive game. But I didn't think a whole lot of that Commanders defense. Like, I think it's like average. And it was a tractor pull for them until the fourth quarter when Caleb really sparked, which is, you know, it's crunch time. That's when you want to see the young quarterback rise up. It's been forever since you felt like there's a Bears quarterback that's going to be money with the game on the line. And Caleb went out there and he did that. And the shame of it is they had a chance to win a game they probably had no business winning. And they you talk about threading a needle. Like, I mean, to lose that game in that fashion, in that manner, I don't care if Tyreek is still standing there in that corner of the stadium yapping with fans. The percentages of completing the Hail Mary are extremely low.
Brad, what did you think of Caleb Williams, the way he described good teams and great teams? Good teams, coaches lead. Great teams, players lead. I have not really heard it put in that context before. I've thought a lot about that. I think a great team's probably players and coaches lead, but I am curious, based on all this discussion this week, our civic lesson in leadership, what you think about Caleb Williams describing it that way.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, and I'm sure he probably means it that way as well, that like great teams, you're going to require some elite coaching leadership as well. Like great teams aren't just, you know, you got players sitting at the front of the bus taking their turn driving. Great teams in Kansas City are led by Andy Reid and some fantastic players, but I don't think anybody tries to short sell Andy in his role, right? You know, you look at when Belichick was winning like mad in New England, I think people gave him a ton of credit for leadership, and it wasn't just player leadership there. So I think I would imagine he meant, and I'm not trying to speak for him, but that, you know, the great teams have elite leadership basically in every corner of the organization. And that's something they're trying to develop here. Like the culture, the winning mindset, all that. I think that's in a growth process for them. And you guys know I'm not a fan of that, the whole culture talk. Like, they've talked about their culture the past couple of years, and I'm like, yeah, you've got like last place culture going on. That's where you are in the division. They need to continue to improve in that area. They need to understand how to win, and they've got to understand how to prosper, because as Cole Kmet alluded to earlier this week, you know, maybe they were cutting a corner here or there, and they're not good enough to do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, Those are the most damning comments, really, that came out of anything. They're not good enough to do that. I think the other thing that was really interesting to me that Caleb said is that he was asked about keeping Flus off the sidelines. And I did not see that in real time, but when you looked at the tape, the guy was definitely on the field. And you see Caleb Williams pulling him off, and he said something which was either the most subtle, damning comment I've ever heard or just a statement of fact. He didn't want them to get more yards for nothing, which didn't they just do that the play before? It was hysterical the way he termed it. I don't think he was going after the coach. But if you look at it the right way.
It was so understood. It was like a given.
Well.
They just gave up those easy yards. Let's not give up anymore.
Yes. I laughed at just reading the quote.
Yeah, you see, you'll see coaches on the field during plays. Yeah. That's not super uncommon in the National Football League, and it certainly doesn't get called all the time. But, yeah, he was just trying to rein them in there, and it was it was a perfect storm that added up against the Bears, and it showed that you've got to have everything buttoned down. Everything buttoned down through the last play of the game, and it's unfortunate because they'd be 5-2 right now, right? But if they had been bending some of those corners and got to 5-2, would they be taking corrective measures this week, right? And I don't know the answer to that question. I'm asking.
Yeah, that's a good question, Brad. It is, because you don't know how that would have come across or the message would have been delivered.
Because we'd be talking about like the quarterback that's a rookie that led the rally when things looked bleak. We'd be talking about the defense holding, what were they, number one or number two in the league in scoring out of the end zone. There'd be so many different things. They'd be on their first four-game winning streak since 2018, but the previous four-game winning streak, and they had two in 2018. Before that, you got to go back to 2012 for a four-game winning streak. I mean, it would be seashells and balloons this week, guys.
So, Brad, it's not seashells and balloons on the offensive line. What are your expectations for Larry Borum? What does Ryan Bates bring to the table, and when? Because the injury list was much longer than it should be, or you'd want it to be, and Montez Sweat's name still is on it.
Well, you're giving me a lot to tackle there. Let's stick with the O-line to start with here. There weren't any new surprises on the O-line in terms of health coming out of the game.
What
Bill
about
Murray placed
Kieran,
on IR.
Kieran Amagaji? That was a new surprise.
I saw him in a walking boot leaving the locker room. What they've got going on there is Braxton did not participate yesterday, and it's just an estimation because of the walkthrough, and Tevin Jenkins was limited. So my belief is that Larry Borum probably takes Bill Murray's roster spot by Saturday. They've got an open roster spot. This is Larry's second week in practice. Barring a setback today or tomorrow, I would think he gets that roster spot. If Braxton with the knee can't go, my guess is that Matt Pryor, who profiled as the swing tackle during training camp, that's where you saw him lining up the most at right tackle and left tackle, slides out to left tackle, creating an opening at right guard, which my guess would be Nate Davis. Slides in there. Could be Larry, but I think that's probably how they handle that. If Tevin is unavailable, Nate Davis almost certainly will be playing, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do at left guard. That could be Borum. That could be Doug Kramer. In terms of Ryan Bates, they started the practice window for him yesterday. It was just a walkthrough, so today will be his first practice. In a perfect world, I think it's taken 2 weeks on the practice field to kind of try to get him back up to speed. They're not in a perfect world on the O-line, but I think it would really be rushing it for a guy who has missed a considerable amount of time on the grass since August, right? He missed some time, came back, played in that opener, and then was out again. So I think that really might be pushing it. To me, it's more realistic for Bates to potentially be active a week down the road before the New England game, but we'll have to see.
Are we kind of admitting that Amagaji was a wasted year? I just think that he was hurt when you drafted him. I know there was value there, but the fact is that he wasn't ready to start the season. Yet he makes the roster because he's a third-round draft pick, and then you're kind of stuck.
10 games left.
Trying to figure out. But, I mean, he's going to be out for two of them, right?
I wouldn't call it I don't know that I would call it wasted when you – I think the plan all along was for him to be able to learn on the practice field and develop on the practice field. And yeah, if this calf issue is something that keeps him out for quite a while, then you're looking at a setback. If he's back on the practice field here soon, you're feeling like he can develop in the meeting room, develop in practice. And that's what the plan was from the jump. I don't think the plan was this guy comes in and competes for a job as a rookie coming from the Ivy League. So in that respect, I don't know, I would call it wasted.
So, Brad, wanted to get your opinion. We haven't talked about it, but I know Molly noticed it. Velus Jones, cut by the Bears, signed by the Jaguars. How about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you see a player with elite physical talent, and this is what coaches at every position will tell you. Though they feel like, you know what, I can unlock this talent or whatever in this player that they were unable to get going elsewhere. Like, what they couldn't figure out, I've got the key to. And Bayless, 4.31, 40-yard dash, he's got strength and size. Like, all the physical skills are there. Jacksonville is really struggling, could probably go for a spark, so they take a shot at it. Not surprising.
This segment with Brad Biggs is sponsored by Estwing Professional Tools, made in the USA for 100 years, estwing.com. Let's get back to the pass rusher. What is the deal with
Sweat?
Montez?
Yeah,
it's a Wednesday practice. It's a Wednesday walkthrough. It's not a practice. When or is he the kind of guy that just has to be there on game day, and especially against a quarterback that fast, right?
Yeah, and it'll be important to have him. This is another athletic quarterback like Jaden Daniels. And you, how did the Bears react? They had 6 defensive ends on the active game day roster at Washington. Like, they wanted fresh guys in there to try to contain him and prevent him from doing damage. Kyler Murray is super athletic as well. They've played him before. They know what they're going up against. I thought Eberflus was relatively positive about the possibility of Sweat with the shin injury being available in Arizona, and that's going to be key for them. They need to get some heat on him. They really – you know, with Kyler Murray being shorter, the guys you really want to see have a big game are Jervon Dexter and Andrew Billings. Push the pocket from the interior so he really struggles with space to step up, and then have the guys on the exterior keep him in that pocket. But this would be a great week for Dexter, who's been a lot better this season, guys, to maybe have the kind of game that gets him a little more recognition around the country. Bears 8th in the league in sacks per pass attempt. So they've been solid rushing the passer. They need to step it up here.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
That is Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune. We will be right back. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
I mean, we all talked about it, and me and Floos talked about it with the captains, and just got to stay in the house next time. I mean, I'm not going to say sorry for what I said, but at the same time, it is, it should have just stayed in the house, but I said what I said.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's our guy, DJ Moore. He was with us as he is every Monday and answered some tough questions. And, you know, he said later on, as he talked about that, he said, well, I answered questions.
He was just answering our questions.
Truthfully.
So, yeah, I don't think that we were trying to lure him into any trap. I don't think he feels that way at all. He was candid. He was direct. He was succinct.
But he was told no longer to answer our questions?
I don't know if he was told that. I'd be surprised if he's much different. I'm really not worried about DJ Moore on Mondays at 8 o'clock. I think he will be a professional. He's a consummate pro. He always calls in. 7:59, boom.
Unbelievable.
Accountable himself. I should have done this. I should have done that. He'll sound appropriately remorseful.
I got to tell you, there's a lot of word salad with Shane Waldron. He's not a guy that gets in front of the media and is cracking wise and giving you. He's not succinct. In other words, he will answer all aspects around a question as opposed to answering a question. There is very little clarity that comes from his answers.
I don't disagree, but I do think that Luke Getsy was pretty good behind the microphone.
Yeah, he was
good. And pretty bad in the booth.
Okay.
And I don't know.
At least I knew what he was thinking.
Yes, okay. He definitely provided more clarity. And Luke Getsy was actually somebody who was strong with communication skills. I think that's why you saw him get a job pretty quickly after leaving Chicago. How's he doing in Vegas anyway? And they're not.
I don't think they're doing very well.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, but they're not going to trade Max Crosby, so you can cross him off your list.
So I'm going to stop paying attention to the Raiders.
Yeah.
If they're not going to trade Max Crosby, why watch? I really.
Is the only reason you were watching?
The Raiders?
Yeah.
They don't have Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. They don't have. Now, if they're not trading Max Crosby.
What happened to Jimmy?
He's with the Rams.
I know.
But yeah, that was the reason to watch the Raiders.
Dustin's guy.
That's Dustin's guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. Why didn't we book him the week of the Rams game anyway?
Dustin couldn't get to him.
I think coming back home, that was kind of an oversight.
He wouldn't take the dollar bill that I tried to write the hotline number on to get him to call in.
Dustin attempted to give Jimmy a dollar at a bar in where?
Elmhurst?
Yep. Well, and, if it wasn't a
he wrote
20,
the hotline number on it. Well, it's a cutesy moment. And we appreciate it.
What? What's David? David?
You think I'm going to give Jimmy Garoppolo a $20 bill?
Why? Why not? If you want him to call in, we
could
cover
expense
you.
It.
I was told he doesn't need your money.
Wow. I'm so glad that you're over that.
Yeah.
However many years ago that was.
So was Mully. He was still a patriot. This is when he was.
Oh, yeah. You guys need to move on.
This is when he was on
mean?
The verge of signing.
I have. All I mentioned is that Dustin has an issue. That's what I remember. I don't remember anything about any negative. I have no negative thoughts about Jimmy Garoppolo.
I was the only one in a very crowded bar. Mm-hmm. That knew, other than these other two guys, one of which was the owner of the bar, that knew that that was Jimmy Garoppolo. I asked three of my buddies, do you know who that is? Well, no, who?
That must have been a long time ago then.
And they were like, no way that's him. I'm like, it's him. So then I went over there, and these two guys were like, I'm like, listen. And I used some choice words. I said, I'm the only other one other than you three that knows this is him. So if you don't want to make a scene, let's just play along nice.
Whoa! Tough guy.
Yeah, I mean.
Bar muscles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He had a couple of them, apparently.
All right. Well, I think I
drink Bud Light.
But now Jimmy Garoppolo walks into a bar. Everybody knows who he
drinks.
Is.
Yeah,
he buys drinks.
That's a very funny joke.
He's strikingly handsome.
Jimmy Garoppolo walks into a bar. It's a great setup for a joke.
I don't know why there's always been this disdain for Jimmy G. I don't think this show. It's very uncomfortable.
I have no disdain for him at all.
It makes you very uncomfortable.
Yeah, you have like a little bit of a kind of a
bro crush on him. Did you just listen to the story?
He has a vendetta against him. Don't drag me into it.
This is a young man who, when he was at Eastern Illinois.
It's a great story.
Like Eastern Illinois people, they're very earthy and down to
Mike
earth.
Mike Shanahan.
Yes, exactly.
There's an example.
Yeah. So, Jimmy Garoppolo was terrific.
Ryan Pace.
He had, I don't know, the statistics, went down, did a column on Jimmy G, always pulled for him, always wanted him on this radio station, on this show.
Sure.
And I've never been able to pull it off.
You found out that Dustin had
like, what am I
luck.
Doing here? I left the newspapers for this? This guy.
Yeah. So when you were at the newspapers, you would give a $20 bill to get the interview. Okay, now it's all throw it through the expense account.
See,
all
here's
right,
the thing.
There we go.
Dustin, he will give everyone half a chance, but just the one half. And that's it.
But it's almost,
is he barred from the airways, Dustin?
No, I'm sure he doesn't know that. And that bar, by the way, no longer open in Elmhurst.
Oh, see that owner.
That's what he gets. He wouldn't play ball.
He messed with the wrong cat.
We digress. Back to the Bears.
Yeah.
I think what we heard from DJ Moore, what we're going to hear from Shane Waldron, what we're going to hear from, I think, the locker room collectively, one thing that everyone can agree on, I think, at House Hall this week and in Chicago this week, this is a must-win for the Bears. If they win on Sunday, much of this negativity, much of this rhetoric and concern, much of what we have spent the last few days discussing and dissecting and sifting through will slowly dissipate and disappear. If they lose, it will linger.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. Like, I disagree. Dustin said earlier that it wouldn't linger if they won. Let me tell you something. If you get to the end of the year, and you have a bad record, or everything isn't as peachy as you hoped it would be, that game will be front and center if indeed there is a career obituary written about the head coach.
There's no doubt about that.
That will always be something on his resume.
See, that's why, you're exactly right. That's why I felt like yesterday was bigger than we're making it out to be. And that's why yesterday I feel like, and I used the words during the pick six, I was underwhelmed.
Yes.
And I was a little disappointed because I don't think he met the moment. And I think it was a big one. And I know it's easy for media people to say, you know, Wednesdays and the podium, and we overstate the significance of some of these opportunities. But yesterday was a missed opportunity for Matt Eberflus to assert himself as a leader you trust.
I totally agree with that. And when we were talking about it yesterday, I was pretty strong about what he needed to do.
You were.
His own reputation.
Right.
And then Dan Bernstein is portraying me as you tried to fire everyone, you tried to end the team.
That's noise, Molly.
No. I was saying this. He needs a moment of strength here.
Yes.
He needs to tell his captains, hey, I don't want to hear that anymore. I don't want that to be out publicly. You got a problem to do. Apparently, he did do that. And he needs to talk to the cornerback and let him know what's what. And I suggested don't start him in the game. I think you wanted to bench him, and I got there.
Well,
but I was saying don't start him. Show that you are using some kind of discipline. Show not just him, but the team, his teammates, hell, the league.
Anybody. Anybody that cares,
like the football coach.
If there's somebody out there who you care about what they think of you as a football coach, as a leader, if you care about your reputation, protect it. And exactly. I know you want to protect your players, but you also, as a head coach, have a reputation you have to protect.
Yes.
Our role, you know, we can differ on the extent of the discipline, but I think we both agreed that they have to do something. I could accept it if Tyrik Stevenson doesn't start on Sunday. That's a gesture. That's him getting through or trying to make a statement about accountability.
Yes.
He's got to do something. He cannot do nothing.
You have to show that you are the man in charge.
That's all that matters.
And it would help to win the bloody game, and that's the only way the conversation changes.
And we'll move on from that.
But it'll be there.
Well,
they had some
bad
losses last year. I get it. You get to the end of the year, and you're kind of like, well, if it wasn't for the 0-4 start, well, they would have done this and that. You can't live your life like that, because right now they are what is the wacky 0-16 on Sundays?
They haven't won a road game on a Sunday since December 26, 2021.
What? Yes. What is that?
What is that?
That's got to be the worst statistic I've ever heard about a football
team. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bears go on the road this weekend, try to button things up, try to really pay attention to detail,
yes,
maybe change the way they approach.
You would hope so.
The road trip, and they are going to be locked in because they have to be. The sense of urgency surrounding this game could not be higher in the context of this season. You lose this game, you may lose the season. You win this game, and you can start over.
All right, we got a lot to get to. The Bulls are unbeatable. We got to get to the fact that they're a winning organization.
They're 3-2. Let's slow down.
They are headed to the playoffs.
They're 3-2.
If the season ended.
We got a lot of calls, though.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. Yeah. We're going to get to your calls next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mornings with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, that's the Chicago band Ministry. Years ago, David.
Friends of yours?
I believe the name of the song is Halloween.
Okay. All right. I've not heard
this Halloween.
Before. I know it is. Happy Halloween.
May I send a very sincere and heartfelt boo out to everyone.
Ooh. I love your costume.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, I dressed up as me.
Well.
What do you think?
See, I'm scared. Totally scared.
And you will be going as a hot dog later. Or
no, I will not.
It's a banana? What is
no,
it?
No, these are not good ideas.
Yes, we have no bananas.
Yes, we have no bananas. I don't think I'm going to dress up on television.
For the big football show later today, I was thinking if I got you like a Monty Python-esque kind of grandma outfit. Would that work?
No, I don't think that would work. No, I will leave the dressing up to Ruthie Polinsky. I think she will definitely rise to the occasion. But I will wish you a happy Halloween and move on. Trick or treat.
Let's get to the phone lines. A lot of people want to check in. Let's start with Matt. He's in Elmhurst. Hey, Matt.
How are we doing today, guys?
Doing well, Matt.
We live the dream, my friend.
Love to hear it. So you guys mentioned Shane Waldron talking to the media here today. You know, one thing that I'd like to just see if he answers to is, why are we having Keenan Allen, who probably runs a 5.0 40-yard dash, running straight go routes? Why are we just abusing the deep game consistently with a beat-up O-line? Why is there no flow to our offense right now? If I'm him, I'm looking at using the intermediate game and getting DJ Moore involved in other ways besides bubble screens and jet sweeps. There's just no flow to our offense right now, and that's what you get ultimately when you have ownership that won't bring in a big-time head coach, won't pay him the money, and this is what we get year in and year out, unfortunately.
Well, Matt, that's a really interesting phone call. Thanks for making it. A lot of strong points.
Right.
Would disagree with him on the Keenan Allen speed thing. I still think he's somebody that can get open, maybe not separate like he used to.
He's always open.
He's always open.
He's a third down machine.
In regard to Caleb Williams, I think I want to be fair here. He did not have a good three quarters. The fourth one was somewhat redemptive. But I do think you have to remember, not to make excuses, this will sound like one, 51.6% pressure rate.
That's the
and
highest
Mully,
he's faced in his career.
And 2.47 seconds to find receivers.
2.47 before the pressure gets to him.
No quarterback under those circumstances is going to look good.
That is basically 1-2 throw. 1-2
that's it.
Throw. That's
it. So how do you have a downfield passing game when you can't get to three?
You can't throw the ball downfield because you're talking about a three-step drop on everything. And I know that the criticism from Belichick last week was that everything he throws is right over the middle of the field. And so they tried to bottle up the middle of the field. Makes perfect sense. But you've got to when your offensive line is, and I want to be fair about it, as damaged as it is, you're already down players. You had three guys leave that game last week. Three offensive linemen. You only field five of them. I know one position lost two.
Right.
But you're playing with backups, and now one of the backups is out. Kieran Amagaji won't be able to play in this game. and we'll find out who can play. Tevin Jenkins is apparently, he was limited in the walkthrough yesterday, which would indicate he's probably going to start the game. But as we keep talking about, will he finish it? And who are you going to?
It's a good point, and it's a good question, and it's a glaring one in terms of a weakness. And I want to ask this question, too, that Matt brings up. And I don't know if I want to open this door, but I think it's one you have to at least address philosophically. Keenan Allen is making a lot of money.
$23 million?
Yes. If the Bears lose on Sunday, and you look around the league, and there are teams, as we have seen consistently, wanting wide receivers because they are the guys that can make quick adjustments and quick impacts as well. You saw it with the Ravens trading for Deontay Johnson. You've seen it around the league with the receivers being on the move. If you're Ryan Poles and you lose this game on Sunday, as big as we have made it out to be, and now you're staring at 4-4 with the teeth of the schedule coming up, how aggressively do you shop Keenan Allen to get back maybe your fourth round pick for a receiver that teams in contention would want?
First of all, I think Keenan Allen can play, is a good player, is a guy any team would want. Seriously.
I agree with that.
Team. Now, he's no
he
longer
value.
A number one receiver.
He has value,
but
though.
He has great value.
Yes.
And I didn't know you were going to go there. Should they trade him if they lose?
Yes. I'm wondering that. It's a conversation I think you have to have internally.
Well, then you better start working on that deal now, because guess what? That's
Tuesday.
It's election day.
But there's urgency as you build 48 hours out of the trade deadline. If you lose a game, you are conceivably out of the mix.
Yeah, you are.
Be realistic about what you are and what you're not.
You're in last place in your division, and you haven't played a division game
yet. That's all I'm saying, Molly. Is that I'm not trying to kick anybody out the door.
No.
But you look about roster building and planning ahead.
I got to think that through.
You gave up a four to get him, right?
I thought you were going to talk about Rome Odunze versus Marvin Harrison Jr.
No, we can have that conversation later.
I didn't know where
later.
You were going. Now we got to get rid of Keenan Allen.
I don't want to blow your mind. I'm not trying to get rid of anybody, but I think if you're looking ahead at the roster construction and draft picks.
You're not going to give him the $23 million next year, and he's out of contract at the end of the year. So.
And are you getting a return on your investment if you're a team not going to the playoffs?
Yes, it's a really good question. 312-644-6767 is the number. It's Mully and Haw on the score.